Hello and welcome to Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, and Reclaim Your Energy. I am Leanne Pruitt, your host, and we have a great interview for you today. I am so excited to welcome Suzanne Taylor King with us today. Hello, Suzanne.
Hello, hello. I'm excited to be here.
You know, I've been reading Suzanne's biography, and it's just like... I'm quite impressed. I'm not going to read all of it to you, but there are some things that I just have to tell you about her. First of all, Suzanne ignites ideas, conversation, and connection. Her motivational talks and workshops are a combination of innate wisdom, modern tools, and humor to grow communication, connection, leadership, emotional intelligence, productivity, strength, positivity, grit, resilience, and a life you love. All right, that's a lot, Suzanne. I love that. Now, you know, Suzanne, you have 35 years of experience in study in like exercise, nutrition, and holistic living. I think you actually have a multi-step process that you kind of have boiled a lot of that down into, and you teach people through private coaching, workshops, and seminars. But I know you also have a bachelor's in this applied science, a master's in positive psychology, 25 years experience in dentistry. Dentistry. I did not know that.
Yep.
You also have certifications in life coaching, corporate wellness coaching, nutrition, mind-body fitness, stress management, mindfulness, positive psychology, flourishing skill group coaching, and you're a certified optimized living coach. And you have additional trainings in energy medicine, neuro-linguistic programming, hypnotherapy, duality, public speaking, marketing, social media, and leadership and personal development. Woo! So, you know, the first thing I want to say is, like, you look really good for a 98-year-old. Because
hell,
you must be 98 to have done all this stuff. That's amazing.
Well, I will tell you first and foremost that for 20 years, I didn't think I was good enough. So it was a constant, I need one more thing. I need one more thing. But then and before I was done one certification, I was already planning what the next one was, and it all came from this feeling of, I'm not good enough to be a coach yet. I'm not good enough to be a coach yet. I need this, and I need this, and I need this. And that didn't stop until about 2 years ago I got over that. And when I got over it, it was actually a really pivotal moment in my career, my marriage, my parenting. It was about the time to discover that if I'm truly going to step into who I want to be, stop waiting and stop collecting certifications, because no one has ever asked to see a single one of them.
But it gives me a lot to read, so I love that. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know that it does, it does give you such a breadth of knowledge and just in like interesting tweaks and stuff that other people don't have. So taking the time to invest in that and learn that really does just, you know, show me how dedicated you are to your craft. So.
Well, it was all about finding myself truly and who I wanted to be as a coach, who I wanted to be as a mentor for my small business owners who come to me, because I've had businesses. I guess my first business was in 1992 to 97. And then I helped numerous people start businesses, actually was a founder of a business, you know, with startup money. And through that process, I was, you know, studying nutrition, thinking that I was going to end up being a nutrition and fitness wellness coach. but I had this passion for business and technology. And I mean, ask me about any app, any technology, any platform. You need a coaching platform, you need, you know, a project management platform, boom, 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 I have options for you. And that realizing my own superpower came from kind of decluttering everything I do and translating it down into one digestible sentence. And then all the certifications didn't become things I did, but became tools in my toolbox.
Right.
So they're kind of like my arsenal that I can refer back to at any time, just like all the books you see behind me. I can pull things out of books and refer people. But those certifications aren't the basis for what I do. Mm-hmm. They're the tools to help my clients get to where they want to go. And that was really amazing to flip that.
Okay, so now we know why you have all those certifications and stuff. Now, why did you actually, let's step back. Why did you actually decide to become a coach? And why coaching?
Well, I had a really profound experience when I was 35. So I was divorced and single at 35, working as a dental hygienist. And it was my mom's birthday, at March 10th. And what year was this? 2004. And I called her to wish her happy birthday. And normally my day didn't end on Tuesdays until 7 p.m. But my last few patients canceled and I decided to head home early. And I called my mom on the phone to wish her happy birthday. And to make a long story short, she had a massive stroke while we were talking and passed away. Mm-hmm. And upon that, you know, trauma and that situation,
right,
flying to Florida, hospice, you know, that whole, I realized that my mom was 67 and about 50, 60 pounds overweight, but she was on 14 different medications.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that, you know, I mean, I didn't live with my parents, so obviously I didn't realize that. And these medications were all interacting and she was self-medicating with alcohol and, you know, other pills, mm-hmm, because pills didn't have any calories and food, yeah, did, you know, and it was that whole generation of, you know, mother's little helper. Mm-hmm. And when she passed away and I realized that is not going to be me. And I wanted to approach my health differently, especially since I was 35, not married, and I wanted to have a baby. At some point, I wanted to meet a guy and have a baby. Well, I could be 40 years old having my first child. So let's take this health thing to the next level.
So up to that point, do you feel like you sort of were on the same trajectory that she was?
Well, you know, I drank a lot. I smoked cigarettes once in a while when I was out with friends. I was always very thin and very petite. I'm only 5'2" and, you know, I never weighed more than 120 pounds, but exercise wasn't the, you know, routine. And I think I was thin because I didn't eat much, not because I exercised the right way or ate a healthy diet. Not that I ate McDonald's every day, but there wasn't that balance of water and, you know, it was coffee and then alcohol and, you know, the typical single life, but I was living that at 35, not 22. Mm-hmm. So there was different things in play at that time.
Right. Right. So, you know what, let me back up a little bit. The title, well, I'm going to go back to, you know, the series. The title of this online show is Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, and Reclaim Your Energy. So what does Ace Your Space mean to you?
Well, this room is the sunroom of my house, and it's my office. It's my meditation space. It's the place where all my plants are. It's the place where all my books are. And my whole house, you know, I share it with two boys and a dog, mm-hmm, my husband and my son. And it's very, you know, there's stuff everywhere, from toys to books to remotes and video games. And my living room right now currently is a pool table and a bar. That's my husband's space. So for me, having my own space, being an only child, I've always had my own space. Being single for 12 years before I met my husband, always had my own space. And when we moved into this house, that was really important for me to have that space where I could shut the door and just, it's mine. Mm-hmm. And I think having that has enabled me to have more freedom in my business and to have a sense of energized tranquility. Like, I'm a pretty calm person, but yet I have tons of energy. And I think it's because I have my own space.
So for you, Ace, your space is actually being able to have a space that works for you so that you can kind of ace your life.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. Now, I really wanted to have you on this interview series because clutter is just not, it's not just physical. It's not just the piles over there in the corner. It's really anything that gets in the way of you, your goals, your dreams, you know, what you want in life. And, you know, there's like a huge mental component to clutter and decluttering and all that sort of thing. And, you know, and when you and I were talking earlier, you kind of introduced me to the idea of like decluttering negative emotions. So can you speak a little more about that?
Well, first I'd like to say that negative emotions, negative thoughts, that's how we're wired. You know, our brains as humans, that's part of, you know, the human experience. We all are wired that way. The primitive part of our brain is wired to protect us. And that default is fight, flight, or freeze. Right. And I think knowing that, if you go in knowing that, then being negative, having negative thoughts about yourself is a protection mechanism. And most people have about 60,000 thoughts per day. That's the average. And out of that, 80% of them are negative. Now, this was huge when I discovered this, you know, early in the positive psychology journey. I was like, wow, 60,000 thoughts a day. And now for women, the number is a little higher with negative thoughts. Men, a little bit less negative thoughts, but they think more about sex. So it's totally fascinating. Like that enters, not surprising. That enters their mind like once every minute. And I'm like, isn't that interesting? Fascinating. And I remember thinking, okay, well, if I'm having 60,000 thoughts a day, and 80% of them are negative, having negative than positive thoughts. Mm-hmm. And then the staggering figure that it takes over 50 or 60 positive thoughts to outweigh the effects of one negative thought. And wow. That means every day I'm adding to the bank of negativity instead of the bank of positivity. And that really made me dive into affirmations, positive statements. You know, I have some cards that I pull one card every day, has a positive statement for the day. I have post-its everywhere. But it was really about the practice of changing that thought pattern and looking for the times of the day when it was most beneficial to do that. And for me, it meant during those activities that you have to do every day that are on automatic, like brushing your teeth, like going to the bathroom, like starting your car, like maybe putting on makeup and doing your hair. And those activities, if you do them every day and you attach them to positive thoughts, you're actually overriding all those negative thoughts that you've had during the day. So that's how it started for me. Yes. So
like habit stacking, but with like a positive thought stacking.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So for me, toothbrushing is automatic. You know, that's that dental hygienist in me coming out, right? Mm-hmm. So twice a day, sometimes three times a day, I pick up the toothbrush, and just touching the toothbrush now makes those positive statements about myself run through my head. I don't have to look at the post-its anymore. They're just automatically there. I am happy. I am healthy. I am healed. I am prosperous. I am affluent. I am secure. Now, I just did that and I got goosebumps on my entire body, and it's 100 degrees here today. My air conditioning is on, but it's warm here in my sunroom. And immediately my body changes vibration.
Yes.
Because I'm sending it that positive energy. Mm-hmm. And if I do that five times a day with my different automatic tasks, washing the dishes, cooking dinner, folding laundry, mm-hmm. I've outweighed all of my negative, not worthy, you're too fat, you're too old, oh, your gray hair is coming in, you know, oh my gosh, all of those things.
Wait a minute. I heard that recently myself somewhere. I don't know. Yeah. Well, so now let me ask you, when you started that, did you just sit down and come up with a list of, all right, these are the things that I want to say to myself and communicate to myself? And did you put post-it notes in those places so you would read mm-hmm. them? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. And that's what I had my clients do in the beginning, you know, put a post-it note on the speedometer in the car, look at yourself in the rear view mirror and smile and know you're going to rock it today. You know, whatever fits, that sounds like my voice. So that's what I would write. Now your right. voice might sound different, the one that talks to you. Mm-hmm. And then breaking up with that negative voice. So you know, that negative voice in my head that tells me I'm not good enough, or you're too old, or you're too fat, or you're not this, you're not that. Then I tell her, not useful. And I start my positive affirmations about myself. So whenever that starts to come up, I try to flip that switch as quick as possible. Now, sometimes you can't catch yourself. You know, sometimes you end up in a negative spiral. Somebody says something nasty about you, whether it's online or in person, and you end up down that negative thought clutter and your brain is spinning. She said this, and why did she say this? And oh my God. Well, the quicker you can flip that switch out of that negative spiral, mm-hmm. and it enables you to kind of spiral upwards instead. And realize that what other people say about you is none of your business. And that's kind of, I'd rather listen to the own voice, my own voice in my head, rather than what someone else says about me.
Mm-hmm. Well, now let me ask you, we talked about flipping the negative things that we're saying ourselves, mm-hmm. flipping that to positive. But what is it? What's so bad about those negative thoughts? What are the consequences of letting those run unchecked?
The possibilities are endless there, from self-sabotage to not fulfilling your dreams, not going after your goals, not showing up as your best wife, mother, daughter, friend, parent. They really keep you from enjoying that full expression of your personality. They will also keep you from experiencing joy from the process. So many of my clients are new entrepreneurs, and they're feeling overwhelmed. They're feeling like they're not ready. They're not good enough. And that familiar voice I hear them say to me, the quicker we can silence that voice, the quicker you will be a success in whatever you choose to do.
Well, you know, so as you were talking, it occurred to me, it's like, so that really is, I mean, those negative voices really are clutter, because they are keeping people from really achieving what they want to achieve in their life. They're
yes.
making it easy to stop, or just, you know, make it, you know, so
Yeah, and I think my favorite question in regards to that is from Byron Katie, the author. She wrote a book called The Work.
Right.
And, you know, one of her biggest questions is that true? Is that really true?
Yeah.
And when somebody gives me one of those negative beliefs about themselves, that's always what I say. Is that true? And they're like, no. It's something I tell myself to keep myself small, to keep myself from achieving what do I want to achieve, or something I tell myself so I don't have to do the work of going after my goals.
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, I mean, that what I tell people is that there's a benefit to your clutter. You may hate it, you may want it out of there. But it's been hanging around there a long time. It's doing something for you. And it's the same thing. These negative voices are keeping us safe, keeping us in this place. Oh, we don't know. It could be risky out there to do that. So let me keep her here in this place. And
yes,
that kind of thing. Well, so that's kind of like, I guess the flip side of that is like when they do declutter those negative voices, those emotions, it kind of makes some shifts in their mindset. What kind of things do you see are available to them? I mean, I guess like the things that they don't, you know, so like, can you give some examples of?
Well, I'll give you a specific example of a client I'm working with right now who is a new health coach. Mm-hmm. And she hired me and she was scared to take that jump. And I said, look, why don't we start with just my $97 a month mastermind? And she said, really? And I said, well, are you making any money in your business? And she said, no. I said, well, I believe in order to work with me at a higher level, you need to be making money in your business because I don't want you putting me on your credit card. Oh, sorry, that was my dog yawning. She's bored by this conversation. Oh, come here, baby. Yes. And I said, and she said, well, She said, I've had a couple calls with other coaches and they encouraged me to spend $5,000 or $8,000 on my credit card in order to have a successful coaching practice. And I said, well, what does your intuition tell you to do? She says, my intuition tells me that that's an idiotic idea to go into debt for something I know I'm going to be doing myself. I'm going to be building my own website. I'm going to be doing all this myself. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, so how about we spend this week and you go out and get a client. You're going to create a client. I'm going to send you my client creation formula. And it's simple. And you're going to go out and get one client to pay you $100 a month. And they're your beta test client. Go on that. You're my first client. I'm going to do this and I'm going to test everything out on you. How's that sound? For just $100 a month. She created that in 2 days and that pays for me.
Right.
She was like, this is amazing. And I said, it's a simple mindset shift. Now, if I told you that I was $1,000 a month for my one-on-one coaching up here, so you either have to create 10 of those clients or one client that's $1,000 a month that you do everything for, cook, exercise with, do your health coaching. And she's like, I don't need a website to do that. I said, no, you don't need software. You don't need social media. You don't need a landing page. You don't need any of that to go out and meet someone and create a client. I'm sure there's somebody you already know who needs you. Go talk to them.
Yeah.
She has 10 clients now. We've been working together 1 month. Mm-hmm. Because she has that internal belief now that she can go out and create a client whenever she needs to.
Yeah.
Or whenever she wants to. Mm-hmm. Instead of feeling like, oh, I need a fancy website and I need programs and I need a group coaching and I need a Facebook group and I need, you don't.
Got it.
Yeah.
So she was able to shift that and actually achieve something that she wanted. So
yes.
I love that. So Now, let me ask you then, we're talking about, you know, decluttering your life, using your space. What has your relationship been to clutter, like, throughout your life? How has clutter impacted you? And, you know, how's your relationship with clutter?
Well, I will say that I grew up in a house with a white living room, white furniture and cherry tables. Mm-hmm. And I can remember being a kid and, you know, I wasn't allowed to touch the tables because it would leave fingerprints. And I certainly wasn't allowed to sit on that white furniture. It was, you know, it was one of those rooms that was walk in the house and that's for show or for a cocktail party or whatever. It wasn't for kids. So right. I grew up with a house that had its kid areas and it had its adult areas. And now my house is, you know, kid and dog friendly. My dog's bed is right here next to my desk. There's dog hair everywhere. I've kind of let go of, you know, those cleaning things now that I'm a mom. But having a clean workspace, clean desktop, I do it probably once a month. I declutter my office when I feel a little stuck and I need motivation. I get rid of stuff.
Yeah.
And it frees up space in my head, in my vision. And I just did it yesterday, created this standing desk that I'm standing at right now, which is so amazing. I'm so excited. And there's a shelf underneath this standing desk, and this giant basket was filled with empty essential oil bottles. I've been using essential oils since early 90s. Mm-hmm. And I started with Young Living in 94, right. I did some trainings for doTERRA in the early 2000s. Every empty bottle I've ever had was in this basket. So it just became a habit. When a bottle was empty, I would leave it open on my desk to smell up the room with whatever scent was left in the bottle. And then after a week, I would put the lid on and throw it into this recycle bin, but I never recycled them.
Never did it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, I carried it out to the garage, and I dumped, it had to be 2,000 or 3,000 bottles of essential oils into the recycling bin. And then there was also a pile of magazines that needed to go. Mm-hmm. There's one pile left here on the floor that's a paper copy of every workshop I've ever given.
Okay.
And I could show you the pile, but it's this it's easily this big.
I'm surprised it's not larger, but
Well, I only keep one copy.
Oh, one copy. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's just whatever handout I would give at the workshop. Mm-hmm. And they're all on my computer. And why do I have paper copy? I'm probably not ever going to give those workshops again. So yesterday, my husband said, "Oh, what's that pile?" And I said, "That's every workshop I've ever given in person. My online workshops are on my computer." And he said, "What are you going to do with them?" I said, "I'm working up the nerve to shred them. And I'm also going to take the online versions and sell them." And he said, "Wow, this is huge." And it actually, as I said it, it felt a little scary. Like, who's going to want to buy my old stuff? Mm-hmm. But as soon as I put it out there in the universe, one of my clients asked me if I had a workshop on emotional eating. I was like, "As a matter of fact, I have four.
Let me know.
Would you like to buy them?" And she was like, "Yeah."
I love that.
Yes. So that's a huge step for me to, okay, that frees up a whole drawer in my office. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
So what you're doing, I was speaking with one of our other speakers, and she was mentioning that to leave space, because then that allows for things to come in. She says, if things are piped so tight, you don't have the space for something to come in. So now you've created space for something else to come in. I love that.
Yes. And I'm in the process of creating two amazing things. One with my mentor. He has an amazing online course for businesses who are looking to scale to $1 million. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of his coaches. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Amazing. Well, I wouldn't have had room for that physically or mentally, right, if I was still holding on to all of those old ideas of who Suzanne used to be as a coach.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and that's, I mean, and that applies to everything. When we're, yes, holding on to those old ideas, and that old stuff, the space is not there, yeah, for new, you know, Leanne, a new Acer spacers to come forth. So I love that.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it occurs to me that when we want to tackle our mental clutter, a lot of times in that case, what we're doing is we want to add things to, ooh, our routine. Maybe some, you know, some mindfulness, some visualization, you know, meditation, gratitude, things like that. Almost like a, you know, kind of like a tailored morning routine comes to mind, or, you know, yes, whenever you want to do it. So what are your thoughts on that? And have you got a place where you do your own, you know, what is your relationship to like the mindfulness and the meditation practices, things like that?
Well, I would say, that's what I give away on my website, is how to craft your morning routine, because I've found that,
Yes.
The Miracle Morning book really changed my life.
Yes.
As a new mom 11 years ago, who was still in school, you know, educating, mm-hmm, myself, yeah, I said, all right, something. I have to figure out, I'm not going to wake up in a panic when the baby cries in the morning. I need to be the best version of myself. And that really started the morning routine, mm-hmm, journey for me. And so I read that book and I decided, okay, in the morning, I'm going to get up, you know, whether it's an hour before him. That's what I used to try to do, an hour. Now that he's older and sleeping later, it's more, I get about 2 hours to myself in the morning. And in the last 2 years, I've taken that to the extreme. I don't pick up my phone. I don't look at the TV. I don't look at email on my computer. It is just 120 minutes. Just for me. So I do my morning workout, my morning stretching or yoga or weights or a walk, have my coffee, sit on the porch, do my journaling, do my 20 to 30 minute meditation, mm-hmm, do my gratitude practice, and then start my day. Mm-hmm. And that has been life changing for me. And it was about really removing the phone from the morning equation. Mm. So digital detox happened for me about 2 years ago.
Right.
So where I am right now is very different from most people. My phone right now is in the other room because I'm here with you. I didn't want to see it light up or hear, right, it vibrate. Of course, mm, it was off, but you still notice it if it's in, yeah, the room with, yes, you. Mm-hmm. So that was really big for me. I went away on vacation once last summer without my phone. Huge. Day three, my son said, "Are you not working?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You don't have your phone." And I said, "We're on vacation." He said, "Yeah, but when we go on vacation, you always have your phone." He noticed after 3 days that I was more present,
yeah,
with him. Mm-hmm. And I only check email once a day. Mm-hmm. And everybody who knows me knows that. Look, if you email me at 7 a.m. and I've already checked email, you're not going to get a reply till the next day. I, mm-hmm, let my clients know that. If it's something urgent, you need to text me. Mm-hmm. So I have very strict boundaries around my digital time.
Yep.
That's helped a lot.
So Yeah, you just said something there, like the boundaries. I think that often when we do have a cluttered lifestyle, when we have a cluttered mindset, just physical clutter, whatever, a lot of times it's like we don't have firm boundaries for ourselves. So these yes. things get in there. So it really is. It's kind of recently become clear to me that clutter is, you know, is a boundary. It can be a boundary issue. So,
yeah. And, you know, it's no different digital clutter mm-hmm. I call it input that's clutter, yeah. right? We have so many inputs now per day. Mm-hmm. 100 years ago, we had the same amount of inputs in a year that we have now every day. And 500 years ago, in a lifetime, we didn't have as many inputs of information as we do now in a day.
Wow. That's
so
amazing.
You can imagine why we feel an internal kind of anxiety or yeah. uncomfortableness or overwhelm. That they're go-to emotions for people nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Because we're just, yeah, it's just, we weren't really meant for all these inputs. We really weren't.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
So fascinating. So now let me ask you, what tips would you give us to help us like free our time and reclaim our energy?
Oh, well, dial in your sleep first and foremost. Mm-hmm. I think prioritizing my sleep time, my bedtime routine, just like my morning routine, there was things that needed to improve with my nighttime routine, mm-hmm. you know, turning off work, you know, by 5:30 or 6, turning off the phone by 7, not watching emotional TV or drama or violence at nighttime. Watched a very scary movie this past weekend with my husband, and I noticed that my sleep, because I track everything, I'm obsessed with my fitness ring that I wear that tracks my sleep and my my steps and all that good stuff. But I noticed that upsetting movie, you know, murder, mystery, violence, scary, left me waking up, went to bed at 10, and I didn't fall soundly asleep till after 2. I kept waking up. Well, why? Because your brain is, you know, overactive. Right. So that nighttime routine, number one for me. Mm-hmm. And it takes a reminder like that to say, oh, that's why I have a nighttime routine, because I want to wake up with energy. So my morning actually starts the night before.
Yes. Okay. I love that. That's good.
Thanks.
Okay, I have a couple of questions for you.
Sure.
What was your favorite book as a child?
Oh, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Oh, I love that. That's so sweet. That was, you know, I was a little older when that came out, but I remember that. It was such a sweet book. I love that one.
Yeah.
Now, what's a movie you can practically quote from start to finish?
Caddyshack.
that was Rodney Dangerfield. Wasn't Rodney Dangerfield in that? And I know it was Bill Murray.
Murray.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I can do his voice. I can like scenes from the movie.
There was like a raccoon or groundhog.
A gopher.
Gopher. That was it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And who sang the song? Kenny Loggins.
Oh, yes.
I'm okay. All right. Nobody got a word about it. Yep, got the gopher dance down. Love okay. that movie. That was something my dad and I watched mm-hmm. together when I was, you know, a teenager when it first came out, probably 14 or 15. Yeah. And then, you know, as I've gotten older, it's one of those ones, mm-hmm. you know, we go back to.
Love it. I love that. So you have a gift for the audience, don't you?
Yes, I have two actually that are available on the first page of my website. It's the Crafting Your Morning Routine. Mm-hmm. So I have three different categories, mind, body, and soul, mm-hmm. and three different options to pick from in each category. And the idea is to create a simple 20-minute morning routine. So you pick one from the mind category, one from the body category, and one from the soul. And you put those together and you craft a morning routine that works for you. And it can be as easy as just breathing for 1 minute, stretching, power posing for a minute, mm-hmm. and, you know, three things you're grateful for. That's a simple morning routine that anybody can do. Mm-hmm. And then at the very bottom of that page on my website is my newest book, which is about the art of mindfulness in mm-hmm. everyday life.
I love that.
Thank you.
The Art of Mindful Living. Is that the name of it?
Yes. Yeah.
Very yes. cool. I think both of those things are going to be great because I know I've been kind of talking to the HR Spacers about creating a morning routine. I know that we have some new listeners here too, but it's such a useful thing.
Yes.
Now, all right, I have one final question for you. If you could leave people with one action that they can take to help them declutter their life, what would that be?
Get rid of the clothes that no longer fit you.
Amen. I love that.
Oh, I'm struggling with it big time because I gained a lot of weight from an injury. Mm-hmm. And now I'm finally recovered a year later and I'm in the weight loss process.
Right.
I mean, every day there's a little bit more and a little bit more, and I don't know where I'm going to end up. So I am literally holding on to 6 different size clothes because I don't know where I'm going to land.
Well, and one thing that I will say is that, if you're in a situation like Suzanne is, where you had an injury or you're going up or going down, get the stuff that doesn't fit you out of your closet.
Oh, okay. Yes. I've done that. Yes. Yes. Got it out of my closet and it's all in bins according to size and according to season. And it's in my basement. So as I lose, I've actually went down into the basement and got summer mm-hmm. size 8 out of the basement. And, you know, there's shorts and some sundresses and some things that were too tight last summer. Now they all fit. Yeah. Amazing. Wow. It was like going shopping in my That's basement. Fun, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there are some size 6s and size 4s down there. And I don't know at my age if I will get back to size 4, but I'm hesitant to get rid of things until I see where I land. But my closet upstairs, when I walk in to get dressed, I work with an image consultant last year. Well, I guess it was December and January mm-hmm. because I had some really big speaking gigs coming right. up. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to dress my brand. And my brand is kind of, it's casual, but it's kind of like a rock star vibe. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I said, I want to kind of look like a professional Joan Jett on stage. And she was like, oh, I could totally see that. And she picked out like 2 amazing outfits for 3 speaking gigs for me, mm-hmm. you know, leather pants and an on color brand shirt and some really cool boots and then a skirt, but like a really funky t-shirt to go mm-hmm. with the dressy skirt and combat boots. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. It's exactly. Yeah. So keeping your closet to what fits you now and what you love to wear. Like mm-hmm. none of those things that you scroll by and go, ugh, oh, I'm too yes. fat to wear that. Or that makes for a positive start of the day for sure.
I love that. That's great. You know what, Suzanne, I've so enjoyed talking to you. This has been so much
fun. Oh, you too.
Thank you so much for being on the series. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And Acer Spacers, I know you guys enjoyed this interview as much as I did. And I want you to take a look at your email tomorrow because we have a couple of other really great interviews coming up for you. So until then, I will see you later. Bye-bye.